At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio. Hello and welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, Susie Ruffle.
And me, Tom Allen. Hi, everyone.
Tom, you don't wear that colour often.
No. Mum bought it for me.
And it really suits you.
Oh, thanks for saying that.
It's like a bright red.
It's well, up close, I think it's like an orange.
Oh, is it?
But then looking at it on screens and things, it does look red.
Yeah, I never see you in that colour.
I very rarely wear it and I just leapt out of it from the drawer.
It looks really nice. Is it a cashmere?
No, it's I don't know what it is, just a wool.
A wool blend?
A wool blend, maybe. Maybe a nylon. I don't know, something like that. Something like that.
And you're in your olive room?
I'm in the olive room. Just did a bit of repotting in the garden. Very late in the day, we took some tomato plants from the windowsill in the kitchen and put them in the... put them in a trough in the garden. Probably won't come to anything. But I've never seen
it. It's quite late.
It is quite late for tomato, I realise, September. But they have been growing well on the windowsill. And they have had full sun today. But I've never seen it with a plant before. It's literally was in there for like 10 minutes and one of them just died.
Oh, really? They were like, I've had enough.
No way.
This isn't happening for me.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Alfie reckons he might have ripped the roots off, which... I'm hoping.
Oh, for God's sake, Elf.
Goodness sake.
I ran into someone yesterday who I think we've both worked with, who is, I don't know what her job title is, but she works on a lot of gigs that we do, like the corporate gigs that we do, as like I don't know if it's a showrunner.
Okay. Or something like
that.
Yeah.
Her name's Natalie, and she said she didn't realise that we did a podcast together until we did that gig, that M&S gig that she was on.
Oh, right.
And since then, she's been listening to Like-Minded Friends.
Oh, welcome.
And told me that she was listening to an episode where we talked about fisting parties.
Yes.
And she said she was laughing so hard on a plane that the man next to her had to check that she was okay.
Oh.
Which I thought was the greatest compliment I could receive.
Lovely. That's so great. Yeah, that
she's
going to some sort of shock.
So now we've got 7 listeners. That's good.
Goodness me. I hope the man next to her on the plane also subscribed.
Yes, I should hope so.
I hope so. Use the in-flight Wi-Fi.
Yeah, like that ever works. It's like when you see someone getting on at Gatwick and you see them trying to log in to like the Thames link or the Southern Wi-Fi and you think, oh, your hope. Yeah,
don't worry about it.
To live in a world with the kind of hope that you've got.
Because that Gatwick through East Croydon... that's why that terminology doesn't work when people say through, like
yes,
through. I'm trying to say through to. East Croydon, big tunnel. Hang on, Mum, are you all right? No, just doing the podcast.
Tell her I say hello.
Susie says hello. Hi, Suze.
Imagine if you heard on the mic. Oh, I'm sick of her.
No, she sends her love. There you go.
I gratefully receive it.
Oh, great.
And I also send mine back.
I'll send it afterwards.
You can send it afterwards.
Otherwise, I feel like I'm just like a sort of conduit.
Keep it in you for a moment.
Yeah, I'll keep it with
you. You can enjoy it.
All I was going to say, there's a big tunnel between East Croydon and Gatwick, but you know.
There is a big tunnel. I'm sure
It's nice to have a new sort of area to talk about, which is train routes of the UK.
I think it's a great thing to, like, you know, just the minutiae of it as well. I think particularly as we, you know, seek to build our international following, I think that's sort of Minnesota are going to love.
Yes, Minnesota. I'd love to do that interrailing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would have been.
I'd love to do that. I know people that do it with kids, which I.
Oh, no, silly.
Sounds like absolute hell to me.
Why would you do that? Yeah.
Why ruin a nice time?
Yeah. Kids, do they enjoy
kids
that?
Kids won't maybe appreciate it.
I mean, they might enjoy it, but you know.
How can you know? Yeah. Tom, I've had a hell of a week.
Susie, tell me what's happened.
And it's only Tuesday.
What? What's happened?
So on Sunday, I went to do new material at Down the Hatch, which is a new gay night in Brighton at the
Comedia
that is being run by your friend of mine, Lee Putt.
Oh, lovely.
And I was on with
Daniel Fox.
And Dane Buckley. Lovely boys. Mm-hmm. Such a nice time. Lovely. And I went and tried some new material. Mm-hmm. I'll say it was hit and miss, but that's what we're meant to be doing. And
that's what you're supposed to be doing, trying things out.
That's the truth of it. Just trying things out.
That's lovely. And I bet they loved it there.
It was super fun. It was super fun. It was great. Mm. Yeah, it's a high recommendation for anyone that lives in Brighton. It's a really nice queer or queer friend. Like, you don't have to be queer to go, you know, ally.
Queerish.
Everyone's very, very
queerish.
Welcome. Queerish. Night in Brighton.
People say queerish.
I don't know that they queerish. Should.
Queer adjacent. Yeah.
Queerly.
Queerly. Really beloved. That's neat. See, queer.
It's a great night. It's happening at the first Sunday of the month.
Month.
In Brighton. Okay. So, right. So I thought I'll walk there and back. Get the steps up, you know.
Oh, yeah. Good for you.
So walked there. Great. Walked back. Listening to a podcast. Actually, I was listening to an audiobook. I mean, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, but it is,
you know, it's nice to give everyone a picture. Anyway. I get home about 9:30. Alice is in bed reading. You know how we love to go to bed early. I don't want to discuss it.
Yeah, no, that's not early. Turns out that's not early.
Is it not?
Alf was very... Alf went up to bed at 9:00 the other day and I looked at my watch. He said, there's nothing wrong with going to bed at 9:00.
I'm really with him on that.
Yeah, well, it turns out...
Like I'm in the
goes,
bed with him.
Gosh, I wanted... I was a bit lumpy.
God, it's a squeeze tonight.
Because I'm getting to bed so late, drunk, I wouldn't even know. Yes.
Because I told your friend of mine, Jane Brister, how early we go to bed, and she burst out laughing.
Oh, so she's a night owl?
She doesn't go to bed before midnight.
Yes.
Too late
for you. But then you're up.
Too late.
You're up.
I'm always up at the dawn's crack, honestly.
So
I'm awake. So anyway.
Alice is in bed, bed jacket, I'm imagining, little cardi to keep the chill
course.
Off. Yeah. Rollers in her hair.
Rollers in her hair and one of those silk.
Oh, yes, lovely. A hairnet.
A hairnet over the top. And like a face mask.
Face mask, lovely. Yeah. It's cucumbers over her eyes.
Like a green one. Yeah, that sort of thing.
Can't even see the book.
She's not even reading. She just holds it. No, she puts very small holes in the cucumber.
Oh, she's
so you know what she's like. She's very resourceful. So I come in the house. I see the lights on. I nip upstairs. We're having a chat, laying on the bed. And I'm still in my gigging clothes, which, you know, is just a T-shirt and, of course, some high-waisted trousers. And I would say a spider the size of bigger than a 50p piece crawled over my arm onto my tummy.
Oh, Suze, I know what fearful Nancy's you both are.
Yeah, well, I screamed.
But Alice has got the bigger fear than you.
Yeah, so in that moment I was like, right, I need to be. It's the only time I ever think I'd like a man in the house is when there's a spider in the house.
Or a doctor in the house.
Or a doctor. Yeah. It's the only time I think that would be handy.
Oh, yeah, for sure, because they would be so good at that.
I lived in a flat. Oh man, this is such a long time ago.
Oh man.
In like, I'd like just started stand up. So like close to 15 years ago. And there was an enormous spider in the lounge.
Oh no.
I came in from a gig, but not so late, at like 9:00. My housemates weren't there. I went in the lounge holding my dinner like on a tray. And there was like this massive spider on the door. So I shut the door and locked it.
wise, because they can't open locks. That's the thing.
Then didn't know what to do. So then sort of sat in the hallway having my dinner and thought, well, I must do something about this.
Eating your dinner?
Yeah.
In which flat was this? The one in...
I don't even know if you ever came there. It was in Wandsworth. No, the dodgy end. To quote Love Actually, the dodgy end of Wandsworth.
Oh, what, near Vauxhall, that one?
Yeah, yep. Like that way, but like, yeah, but there's a bit of sort of a no man's land.
But the flat, I did come to that flat. I came there the night you were moving out. Do you remember? And I stayed.
No, that was a different flat in Vauxhall.
Gosh, okay, moving on.
You, Tom, I've already been around. You know me.
Oh, she hasn't lived, yeah.
So I kept trying to go in the room and then I kept like slamming the door. I didn't have the guts. I didn't have the guts. And so then I... So I thought, I'm going to have to do something. So then I went and knocked on my neighbour's door, who is this humongous man, who we always sort of smiled and nodded at each other. And he was Polish and spoke a little English. And I speak no Polish at all.
I was gonna say, what's your Polish like? Yeah.
Pretty bad. And I said to him, I've got a spider. And he didn't know the word spider. So I sort of had to do that, like act out a spider. Okay. Not with my full body, just with my hand.
Oh, what a shame. You've done all that training.
What do you think animal training was for at drama school?
Yeah, I was going to say. Animal studies. That would have been brilliant. So, perfect use of it, yeah. So they said I'd never use it.
And so then I said, he said, yes, yes. And so then he came in the house. And on the way in, he shut the door. And then I thought, oh, I'm more scared of a spider than of a man I don't know. And I've just locked myself in my house with him.
Gosh, that is unnerving.
Yeah, that is unnerving, isn't it? And then he saw it on the wall and he didn't speak a lot of English, but what he did know was, it's a big bastard.
I wonder how he learned that.
I wonder. I mean, the mind races.
Yes, I wonder what scenario.
That had come up in. Maybe he was on Grindr. Who knows?
Who knows?
So, who knows? Anyway, he got rid of it, but he wasn't available
this
two
time
nights ago
around. We don't know. We haven't stayed in touch.
What a shame. Yeah, what a shame. Anyway, so then Alice and I had this absolute rigmarole.
Oh, because I imagine that Alice was straight, like lifting up the candlewick bedspread.
Of course. Yeah, she was having a mare. Then we were trying to work out how we could like get it out of the house. We wondered about how to kill it, like if to kill it. Like, and I know any vegans that are listening will be furious with us. Anyway, we sort of managed to trap it.
Oh, wow. How did you? I'm just stretching out my leg. How did you trap it?
Well,
did
I sort of flicked it onto the floor.
Flicked it, okay.
And then tipped a glass over it.
Tipped a glass.
And then he splayed.
See, this is better than I could do, because remember when I, not to interrupt your story, but do you remember when I first moved in here?
And you had spider. Yeah, I know who you called.
I called my mother.
You called your mum. And she laughed at you.
And I said, can you come over and deal with it? Because it had gone under the bed. And I thought, like, that was a big bastard as well. That you could hear it.
Yeah, like it could wear a backpack, that sort of size.
It really, you could see its legs.
Oh!
Like, you could see, and it went under my, went under my bed, and of course,
put on all your shoes.
Put on all of my shoes, exactly. I only had four pairs at the time. And then
trainers, dress shoes, a boot, and a plimsoll.
It looked wonderful. And it's because mum and dad were saying, like, he's more scared of you than you are of him. Maybe he just wants to be friends.
Oh, fuck
he's lonely,
off.
Wants to come and be your flatmate.
I don't want any friends with six eyes, and I don't think that's too much to ask.
Well, you say that. But I ended up hoovering him.
And is he still in the hoover, or do you think you've emptied it?
You know what? I think he was fine as well.
Because my fear would be that he would crawl out.
I think he crawled out, you know.
He's probably
because I couldn't bear him moving. I was just animated by him.
Well, that's what I don't like. I don't like the scuttle.
I
don't know why they're in a rush. Where are they going?
Where are you coming from? Where are you going?
Where
are you late for? Yeah.
That sounds like a Stephen Sondheim song.
Yeah, or Cotton Eye Joe.
All of those things. Anyway, eventually we managed to get rid of it. But it was sort of quite high drama. But then, last night, I get in very late from a gig. I get in at like maybe 1:30. So I slept in the spare room so I could get a bit of extra sleep in the morning. And I get upstairs to the spare room. And I've got on like a kind of like a smock coat type thing. And I put my hand in the pocket of my
jean jacket. Susie.
Not a spider.
What?
A snail.
Well, Susie, I don't know what's worse. How weird.
Yeah. I mean, I just sort of burst out laughing. I think it must have fallen into my pocket as I was making my way up my little garden.
What's that French restaurant?
Someone had made a run for it.
No, really?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. And do you know what made it even funnier is that I had been listening on the way home to Harriet Kemsley on Jen and Kerry's podcast, Memory Lane.
Oh, right.
She was talking about the fact that she had a snail as a pet as a child.
Oh.
So then I had to take a photo of it and text it to her. And she was like, that's where he is.
He's come to live in your pocket. How peculiar.
And don't you think that's... I just couldn't stop laughing. I thought it was so funny.
Oh, that's
funny.
Good. It made you laugh. That's good. It didn't repulse you. That's good.
No, because I put my hand in my pocket and his body was out.
Oh, right. Yes.
So it's a very strange sensation.
Disgusting, yeah.
Yeah, like sort of slimy.
Yeah. Squishy.
Slimy jelly?
Slimy jelly. Okay.
With a hard shell?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my hell of a week. Just
Suze,
Steve Irwin.
I don't know what to say. You've really been
Suze Irwin, that'll do.
Suze Irwin. Gosh, I can't believe it. Well, I had a strange time on Friday. Well, we went to see Hello Dolly last week. On the way in to see Hello Dolly, I was reminded of my dad's favourite, one of his many Cockney rhyming slang phrases, which was orchestra stalls, which is balls. And
what, so like, what's your orchestras?
Yes, got his, yes. Got punched right in the orchestras, yeah.
Right, okay. Or got his zip. Got his orchestras caught in his zip.
Yes, that sort of thing.
Is that the sort of thing someone might do?
Potentially, I suppose, depending. But yeah, that sort of thing. And I thought I'll share that with the listeners because I thought they might enjoy that, particularly.
Yes, I like that.
Theatrically minded ones. If they go past orchestra stalls, remember that that is the.
Do you think of Tom's dad?
Do think of my father. And I just think of his proclivity for rhyming slang. And I hadn't heard that, you know, or I suppose I'm trying to think of another example of it, but got him right in the orchestras would be to be.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Would. And I thought the listeners might enjoy that.
My uncle eating spicy food. He said, you've got to be careful with that. Cause if you eat too much of it tomorrow morning, it'll give your arsehole a black eye.
It's lovely. Just lovely.
It's
poetry.
The thing
really
is,
poetry.
We talk a lot about parlance on this podcast, and I do hope that the Minnesota listeners,
oh, I'm sure they'll be all over that, yeah,
about giving their arsehole a black eye,
indeed, and more. Yeah. Lovely turns of phrases, isn't it? You know, nothing like being honest. The other thing I want to discuss is,
please,
and I don't know if this is a good thing to discuss or not, but I was looking out my window and I saw a man. And I feel bad about it now, really. But I saw a man taking a photograph of my house in sort of... Well, the thing is that on this road is quite an old road.
Mm.
And so I think it was quite a picturesque thing, but it was something quite unnerving to look out the window and see someone like focusing a camera at your house.
With his phone or with like a camera?
With a camera.
Yes, okay.
But there's nothing wrong about it.
You can't do anything about that.
No. Well,
but also it doesn't feel normal.
So I went outside and went, can I help you? And I was having quite a stressful day and I was actually writing a condolence card at the time to a friend of mine. And so I think I was maybe slightly overwrought with that.
Mm.
And I just saw this man taking a photograph. He was a young guy and not unpleasant at all. But I just said, can I help you? He went, no. And I said, are you taking a photograph of my house? He went, well, it's free country or something. It was public land. I said, well, yes, just a bit unnerving, that's all. And this is like over like quite a distance while people are like walking past. I said, just a bit unnerving, that's all. He said, well, I'm just taking a photograph. I said, well, how would you feel if someone stood outside your house taking a photograph? And then he said, oh, all right, well, next time I'll knock on your door and ask you if I can take a photograph of your house. I was like, well, don't worry about it. I just wanted to check. This is all like at full volume. And then I went back in, I was writing this condolence card and I just felt so embarrassed that I'd done that. And I thought, I did it quite instinctively. I just walked out and I thought, well, it's just because it's an old, they're the series of old houses.
Yeah, but I also understand that. Because I think it feels like it's quite intrusive.
Well, I suppose it, and you know, I'm not trying to suggest that, oh, I'm so well known, people would come and take a photograph of my house. It was just merely the sort of strangeness of someone taking a photograph of one's dwelling was a little bit unnerving. But also at the same time, there's absolutely nothing illegal or wrong about it, because it is...
Responded in the moment and then hated yourself.
And then hated myself in them afterwards. And then I just sort of didn't know what to do about that. And then I just sort of sat with that for the rest of the afternoon. I had to have a brandy.
And then did you think to yourself, I'll talk about that on like-minded friends and sort of air it, and then it'll make me feel better?
That's exactly what, and I've been waiting since Friday to do that. And I thought, that poor man, I hope I see him out and about later, because I'd like to apologise and say, I'm sorry if I overreacted there. So I think he was quite affronted, probably quite embarrassed that he'd been called out for taking a photograph of a building.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
But I mean, did I do the right thing or not?
I think it's okay to ask why someone's taking a photo of your house.
Yes, I suppose so.
I think it's fine to ask. I think if you'd like gone and kicked his camera, did you do that?
No, I didn't do that.
Did you kick him in the orchestras?
I didn't kick him in the orchestras, no.
Then I think it's okay to ask. And I think some people would have been a lot more rude. Not that I think you were rude. Yeah, I think some people would have been like, fuck off. Stop taking a picture of my house. It's fine.
But then you get those people who take photographs of like doors in Notting Hill and things, don't you? Not that I live there.
Yeah, but that would put me off living there.
Yet another reason why I don't live there.
Yeah, another reason why I couldn't bear to live in Notting Hill.
Then I just thought, I was so embarrassed at myself. Like, how precocious am I? That I'm like, someone's taking a picture. It's just a neat row of Victorian houses, old houses.
But it's okay for you to like react in the moment and then to think... Like, I think as long as you're not, like, really horrible to someone, like, you're allowed to be like, oh, maybe I got that wrong. That's okay. I won't chastise myself forever.
Yes, I just felt terrible. I just felt absolutely terrible about it. What was I thinking? Why did I do that? And like I said, I didn't swear or anything like that. I wasn't aggressive. I was just like, it's just a bit, you know, unnerving. Well, how would you feel?
We overthink things so much. This week, I got on the train... up to London, and this is so dull, but this is the podcast.
Get on board.
I normally organise my train travel on the Trainline app.
Oh, clang.
Clang.
Yeah. Are we sponsored by that?
No, I don't think so. But I did it on City Mapper. Because I had to get to somewhere specific in London that I did, and I did that in an area I don't know, in Woolwich.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so
what she's doing there, we don't ask questions. Why she's got to go there, we don't know.
I need to go and see a man about a dog in Woolwich.
Right.
And so I didn't buy a ticket. I just looked at the times of the trains. Anyway, so I get on the train. There's no ticket barriers where I live.
Oh, yes.
So I just got on the train.
Right.
And I hadn't realised that I hadn't bought a ticket. Anyway, then the people come down. And I said, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And by this point, we are like... one stop away from London. I said to him, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. I didn't buy a train ticket. I thought I had, but I hadn't. I'm really sorry. I've had a very, very busy morning. Please accept my apologies. And he said, well, where have you come from? And I told the truth, which meant the ticket would be an awful lot more than if I'd said, I got on at East Croydon.
Just there, yeah.
Yeah. And so I said, I've been on the train for quite a long time. I'm sorry to admit, I got on the train back down in Brighton. And he said, I'm going to have to fine you.
Oh.
And I said, I'm really sorry. It was a genuine mistake. I get this train all the time. And he said, well, then you know you need to have a ticket.
Oh.
And I said, oh, come on, mate. Like, I've literally been honest with you. And when I saw him coming up, I was like, I said to him, excuse me, I'm so sorry. Can I buy a ticket from you, please?
And then
I was honest about it. And then he gave me like £100 fine.
Not fine. Yeah.
Not fine with that.
The opposite of fine.
The opposite of fine. And I know I was in the wrong. Like, I know.
Yeah, but we all make mistakes, don't we?
He didn't give a fuck. Like, he was so, like, he almost looked like he kind of enjoyed it. And, like, people go around the world like that all the time.
Yes, there are people sadly like that.
And then, like, you're allowed to ask. You know, he wouldn't have given me another thought for the rest of his day.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And he had... like, you know, charged me. I'd been honest. I should have said that I got an East Croydon and it would have made the fine about 50 quid. It would have like halved it. But the fact that I was honest about it, because they give you a fine and then they charge you the train ticket as well.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So you can get through the gates. And I said to him, I'm going to London Bridge. I would have had to have paid. And he said, how do I know that you wouldn't have just paid first from East Croydon? And I said, because I've just told you.
And also there's barriers. That's the thing as well. When there's barriers, that's actually quite useful.
Yeah.
Because it reminds you like, oh, I've got to have a ticket to go through it.
But also he was like, well, you could have just bought a ticket from East Croydon. And I said, but you know that I wouldn't do that because I've just come up to you and said, excuse me, I got on at Brighton.
Did you say that?
Yeah.
And what did he say to that?
And he said, well, there's nothing I can do. And I'm like, there is. You can stop tapping your phone thing and issuing me with a ticket. Like, he wouldn't have given me another thought. He would, you know, and that's fine. I made a mistake and I, you know, and I'm an idiot and I never organised my life. And that's me.
Hey, don't be harsh on yourself.
But.
Don't be harsh on yourself. Also, you know, you made a mistake. I mean, what I find frustrating is, and when one travels a lot for work, maybe some of our listeners do this, it is stressful and sometimes one makes mistakes and it feels particularly pernicious, I think, when you're punished for an innocent mistake. You're not like...
What does pernicious mean? Just so we're aware.
I think it means like punishing. I think it means like cruelly punishing, I think. Oh, look at that. I just think it just feels like, well, we all make mistakes, don't we? So like the idea of punishing people for it. I mean, I don't drive really, but... You know, I just know so many people who make that one innocent mistake. And this was always Dad's thing when he was working for the coach company. The drivers would make one, you know, quite simple, innocent mistake. And they would lose their whole day's earnings in a fine.
Oh, yeah. I remember being in a yellow box junction.
Yellow boxes, all of that. Sorry,
But the reason that I got in there is the people in front of me had pulled up. So I went to cross it and then someone cut me up. And went in front of me.
So they can obviously see that on the camera.
But they were like, well, but it's your car that's in there. And you were in there for more than 7 seconds. I was like, oh, do get a life.
Yeah. Where was that? In London?
Yeah.
Well, I just say now to be, because I don't drive for that reason, because I know, I just say, view it as a tax. They obviously want to do it as a tax. Mm. They obviously want to raise money. So don't see it as something like with a chastising finger point. Mm. Just go, that's the tag. That's just a bit more road tax. Just a bit more road. Because if it was road tax, you'd just pay it and you wouldn't be like, why am I being punished with this tax? I think that's what I don't like about it is that sort of punishing, you made a mistake and you've got to be punished, you naughty person.
Yeah.
Like, we're still at primary school. We need to be told off by the dinner ladies. I don't care for that.
No, I don't care for it. But the reason that I was telling you about that was because to say, you know, you would have chastised yourself over asking someone why they were taking a photo of your house, which I think is quite a reasonable question. And yet other people go around genuinely ruining people's days.
Oh, I see. Yes. Oh,
and
I see.
Think nothing of it. So, you know, don't be so hard on yourself.
And maybe the guy listens to, or his friend listens to this and be like, oh, wasn't that you? And I'll be so embarrassed. But I just sort of thought, it was the fact that he had like a big camera. And I just thought that's unusual.
Like a Victorian one.
Yes, it had a...
And you're convinced he's not a ghost.
And he had a sort of top hat and he disappeared. It was a bit like an episode of Round the Twist.
Great show.
I thought I'll save that for like-minded friends because I just sort of think, is that the sort of thing that...
People write in.
People please write in. Is that, have I been overzealous there? Have I been silly? I think I probably have been silly. When I came back in and I was all of a pother.
What did Alf say?
Well, he just sort of laughed and then carried on reading his book. And then I said, I think I'm not well, you know. and then went and poured myself a brandy. And that was that.
Yeah.
But I don't know what, I just sort of found it unusual.
I think that's fine. I think it's fine to ask. I mean, I think if you'd gone and smashed up his camera and kicked him in the
Yes, I didn't do that. I didn't
that. Would have been a real issue. But I think it's fine. Now, Tom, we're reaching the end of our time together today, but what we need to do is to remind people that on Thursday we have a live show at King's Place. It is sold out, but don't you worry, you'll be able to listen to the live episode soon. But we're going to put this out on Instagram as well, but we would like some questions. We'd like to do like a Q&A section.
Imagine such a thing.
If you could imagine, we're sort of reinventing the wheel here.
And question and answers.
Yes, we're going to do a question and answer session.
Someone's written Q plus A.
Sometimes Q plus A, sometimes Q and A,
Hyundai. Both of those are
incorrect. So we're thinking of doing that. So if you have any questions that you'd like us to answer, please send it in to the PO box. It's hello@likemindedfriendspod.com or Wonderful. DM us.
Oh, DM us. Yes, Dr. Martin us. Definitely.
If you're coming, you know, stick around, say hi.
We can't wait to see you. We're really looking forward to it. More angst-based things going on there. Also, I'm just going to clang this, and I'm sorry.
Please.
I went to see a film last night called The Critic. It was very good.
Yeah.
Ian McKellen, Mark Strong, Gemma Arterton. Lovely.
Oh.
Afterwards, there was a little drink. Alf and
I'm
I was
sorry,
sad.
Did you get the premiere?
Well, that is a French word for it, yes. But
I went to see a film last night. You were invited to a premiere. That's good. That's exciting.
Well it was.
Go on, clang. Who did you speak to?
Well, it was. I mean, I say clang. We got to the red carpet. I was ready to speak to any journalists who might have wanted to speak to me. None of them did. Anyway, that's not the point.
Yes.
We watched the film. We had a drink and then we went to this thing afterwards. And we sat at the table and I said to Alf, I'll get the drinks. What do you want? Blah, blah, blah. So Alf was at the table. And when I came back, there was a man in a black suit and his partner sat at the table with us. And I sat down and I said, oh, hello. You know, as you would sharing a table. I said, oh, hello. What's your name? Introduce ourselves. Man in the black jacket was Armistead Moper. Really? I mean, really?
Did you recognize him?
Yes. Well, I introduced myself and he said, hello, I'm Armistead. And I said, I thought you must be.
And did you say, I loved your books. I love your books.
Well, do you know what? I didn't go too heavy on it, but I was thinking like, oh God, I bet I'm embarrassing myself. I said, I'm a huge fan of your work, but I'm so sorry. I'm going to say this to the listeners.
Please.
I'm sorry if this means they never listen to this again. But we were talking and I said, well, I work as a stand-up comedian. And he said, I know you do. I see you on the TV. You're the guy who wears the suits. You've really made that your thing. And honestly, Suze, I've been beaming ear to ear.
As my dad would say, you've been walking around like a dog with two dicks.
Exactly that. Exactly that. Exactly that.
I am proud.
Well, that's nice. That's generous and kind of you to say, but I just wanted to share that moment. But I didn't get a photograph, which I
but
felt
that's
right.
Fine.
But I thought that was right because I thought, you know what, it's enough.
Yeah. You know, when I met Blake Lively, I didn't ask for a photo and I did regret it briefly. Actually, I think it was the right thing to do in the moment because she was with her kids and we don't want to be that person.
Sure.
Also, not everything has to be for social media.
Exactly.
One can have a moment.
We can have a moment.
But also, if anyone wants a photo with either of us on Thursday,
we are ready.
I'll be ripping that camera out your hand to give you a selfie vibe.
Best angles. Yeah.
Best angles.
Best angles.
Best angles.
Best angles, yeah.
Best angles. I'm just thinking of drag names.
That would be a good name. Yeah, best angles.
I like it a lot. Right.
So, yeah,
well, listen,
just wanted to share that. Sorry, is that a cringe?
No, not on this podcast. It's lovely that someone recognised you because of after you had that terrible moment with that man that writes the dreary music that you love. What's his name?
Stop it. Rufus Wainwright, when I went up to him in the Home Slice in Covent Garden, and he was, he was just, I told that story, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
He was paying his bill and looking at his phone and he just went, oh, thank you. And then carried on looking at his phone.
Yeah. Should I say that he writes dreary music? Is that bad?
You're allowed to say that.
Okay. Well, listen.
Your opinion.
Ooh. Well, but you know what it's like with opinions. I change them when someone gives me a better one. I've got my opinions until I like yours more.
Yeah. So, you know, we've covered everything there, I think.
I think we have. Now, if you're coming tomorrow night, it's tomorrow when this goes out. If you're coming tomorrow night, we look forward to seeing you. And if not, we have a very special episode coming your way. Thanks, as always, for listening. Love this pod. Love doing this.
Love doing this. Sorry if I put everyone off with my clangy little conversations?
No, never. I'm sorry if I put everyone off with my snail in my pocket, but Tom and I, Tom's meeting.
Snail in my pocket, great. Does sound
like a... with one snail in my pocket.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen. We'll see you next week. All right.
Okay, bye,
bye,
everyone. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.